everybody. Good to see all of you folks here this morning and feel the excitement in the room. Everybody's busy talking and interacting. That's wonderful. It's great to be in God's house, isn't it? It's great to see your brothers and sisters in the Lord. The song that she was playing, that's the song we're going to sing first. It's 349. It's a new name written down in glory. I kind of like to call it the bragging song. I really do, because I like to think, when I think about this and I sing this song, it's like me saying, yeah, I was once a sinner, but now I can't. I get excited about this song. And I hope you do as well. Let's all stand. We'll sing together. 349, a new name in glory.
Persecution. Many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world, especially those missionaries and brothers and sisters in Ukraine right now, cannot meet freely. But Lord, we just pray, we lift them up before you. We thank you, Lord, for today that you have created and allowed us to partake in. We pray, Lord, for the upcoming service that you would be with the speaker. Speak through him, through your Holy Spirit. Open hearts and minds that we would hear your word and also put into action what we're hearing today. We also pray, Lord, for Pastor and his family, that they're having a good time. He's being refreshed. He's enjoying his family. Bring him home safely to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I'll let you sit for a couple of seconds. Rest your legs a little bit. I have two announcements that I was just told. One we know is Pastor's on his way back. I guess he'll probably be leaving, I would think, either Monday night or Tuesday morning. Is that right? That's what I said. Yeah, you can take plenty of rest. I don't know how long that drive takes him. Probably 10 hours or so, 12 hours.
So you say 12.
12. car. Too long for me. Okay. I have two birthdays I want to announce. One is Jim Bush. Is it this week, Jim, correct? Your birthday's this week?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, all right. And we'll sing happy birthday to him. And to Donna Freeman, Miss Freeman. She's going to be 22, correct? When's your birthday?
Thursday.
See, I didn't look at the calendar. This was just given to me. That's why I didn't know. So I apologize for that. But let's sing happy birthday for them.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. See, now if it was my birthday, and if they put all the candles I needed for my age on a birthday cake, they'd have to call a Catasauqua Fire Department to put them out because there's no way to blow them. And we got one other important announcement to make. Very, very important. This week is Craig and Kathy's anniversary. Am I correct?
Yes.
And it's what, 72 years together?
52.
Wow, that's a milestone. Did you know what? Amen. That's a great milestone. How often do you see that today with young married people? That is just incredible. God bless you. That's a blessing. I don't know, do we ever sing happy anniversary to people? Let's sing happy anniversary. Let's start a new tradition here in church. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy anniversary to you. Amen. Amen. That's it. By way of announcements and embarrassments, what a blessing, what a blessing. If you would, turn to our next song, 517. 517. If you would, if you're able, please stand and sing with us. 517, I am resolved. Resolve resolved to go to the Savior. Every day we ought to be resolved. Let's go to 26. Page 26. Come Thou Fount. Page 26. This morning's service. So, Brother Ralph, you come.
This song is a... hopefully I can get through it. This is a song that was one of my dad's favorites. And I can remember several occasions he and my mom singing it together as a special. And... trust it will be a blessing to you. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms about me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could precious from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Now is the time. The time I've been waiting for, and I hope you've been waiting for. Preaching time. And I ask now my precious son, come up here, and I tell you what, I can't wait to hear what God's put on your heart. Brian, you come.
Let's see if this is on. Is that on? Can you hear me out here? Sounds on. All right, so you're probably wondering why I just walked up with three Bibles. It's going to be a long message, so I got a lot to cover here. No, really why I have them is I didn't know which one I was going to preach out of this morning. This Bible is real special to me. My mom bought me this Bible a long time ago, and this has become the Bible that I study from. I don't typically use it to preach because it has extremely small print, and the older I get, the farther away that seems. But I wanted to use it. This is the one I kind of bought to preach out of because it has humongous type. But I got a lot to cover here, and it's on two separate pages, and I don't want to confuse myself. So I've decided on this Bible right here to go with this morning. Got all the text in one area, and it's big enough for me to see here. First of all, I wanted to thank Ralph for singing the special and also for doing Sunday school. If you've ever preached before or taught a lesson, you know how hard it is. It's a very difficult thing to do because, one, you don't want to let people down. You want to give a message that's going to stir them. Two, you don't want to get in God's way and try to preach a message that's from you and not from the Lord. And also, if you don't do it often, I mean, you get natural nervousness, and there's a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot of prayer that goes into it. There's a lot of, I know for me, when I prepare a message, the Lord seems to rattle me. lately, the past two messages, last time I preached on Wednesday night and this morning, God has been doing things a lot differently than he typically does with me when I prepare a message. Every other message I've preached up until that point, it was a certain way that he brought me about to that message. And the last two times, I think he's been trying to teach me something, especially this time, and to just trust him in faith, to not try to add anything, not try to take anything away from the message, but just allow him to work. And to be honest with you, I was still working on this message because I went through so many different thoughts in so many different ways, and I stayed up late last night. And then I was getting to the point where I was basically falling asleep on the Bible, and I said, Lord, I gotta get a little bit of sleep. And he allowed me to sleep really well for a few short hours and woke me up early. And took the dog out and went right back upstairs and was praying and saying, God, I just don't have peace where I want to go with this message yet. I don't know why, but I'm just going to trust you. If you don't have it solidified for me till the second I walk up to the pulpit, I'm just going to trust that you're going to speak through me. And thankfully, God did help me zero in on some things that he wants me to say. But he's definitely taught me that to learn that it's not about getting a good outline. It's not about having all your ducks in a row or making sure your timing is right on. It's about letting the Lord speak through you and trusting him that he will. He's been teaching me that with this message. Like I said, it was prepared in a completely different way. And this message was going to be several different subjects up until probably last night when God really started kind of making it opening my eyes that this is where I was going to go, but he didn't let me fully understand which direction it was going until this morning when he really kind of gave me peace about which way to go with this message. So I do want to thank Ralph. I want to thank my dad for preaching Wednesday night. He's preaching again tonight because it's difficult. You know, you feel the pressure, and I'm sure there, in our flesh there's a little bit of pressure because we don't want to look like dummies up here, but for me, more so, there's pressure because you really don't want to let people down. People come to church to hear from God, and I don't want to be the one that gets in the way of God's message being preached. So I'm thankful for men that, you know, pastor. You know, sometimes you come to expect the pastor to be able to come up with a message. You got to think about it. He's preaching a Sunday school, a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, Wednesday evening, every night. And I don't even care if he's in the same chapter. That is difficult to do. And the fact that he's given us messages with meat and depth and challenging us every service shows how much he's spending in prayer and how much Bible he's reading. Because I know every time I've had to prepare a message, God reminds me, hey, son, you do have a little more time to read your Bible. Because I get to read in the scriptures. And he always reminds me, you know that time you didn't think you had, that extra time you didn't have. Well, you have it. And I'll prove it to you every time you get to preach a message. So I don't take the privilege lightly to preach. I really don't feel worthy to be up here. I know I'm not worthy to be up here, but for whatever reason, God decided to use me this morning, and I hope that he does, and that I can just stay out of his way, and that he can give us a message that will challenge us all. So if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 22, and I'm going to read through verse 33. I'll read the scripture, I'll pray, and then we'll get into the message here. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for being able to be in church this morning. We thank you for being so blessed. Lord, you gave us a building to come to. You gave us heat to keep us warm. You've surrounded us around believers. Lord, you kept us safe as we came in this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the Sunday school hour, going through the book of Isaiah. It's such a great book, Lord. We're thankful for a Sunday morning service. Lord, you know in my heart, I have no idea why I'm up here. Lord, I know that I'm not worthy. Lord, but I'm standing here willing, and I ask that you'd use me. Lord, please hide me behind the cross this morning. Take me out of your way, Lord. Rid me of self and fill me with the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me and that you would preach this message, Lord, because these people don't need to hear a word from me, Lord, but they need to hear a word from God. Lord, I pray that you challenge me. I pray you challenge each one in here this morning, Lord, that we'd be able to look through this passage of Scripture and find some things that will help us, Lord, to walk with you better each day. Lord, you are an awesome God and worthy of the praise, and we'll be careful to give you the praise for this service. Lord, we pray that you would be with our pastor and his family as they're away. I pray that they've been able to have some good time and good fellowship with their family. Lord, but we look forward to them being back here with us. Keep them safe as they travel back, Lord. Lord, we pray these things in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In this passage, I think it's a pretty familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew 14. A lot of people know about Peter walking on water. Outside of Jesus, in case you're wondering, Peter is the world record holder in walking on water. He's walked farther than anybody else. But I want to go through this passage of Scripture and find some things that I think will help us. I want to preach briefly on the idea of where is your focus. I want to look at some things that Peter, that we can learn from this passage of Scripture of Peter walking out to Jesus that I think could help us in our walk with God. First, I want to point out that we need to have faith that Christ can do the impossible. In verse 28, we see Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Peter asked Christ to allow him to walk on water. Now just put yourself in his position. I know if I were Peter in this position, I think Peter knew he couldn't walk on water. I think if it was me, I would know that if I'm asking God to let me walk on water, that I can't walk on water and I'm about to sink. But I believe here, Peter was showing that he believed and had the faith that Christ could do the impossible. He knew that it wasn't him that was going to walk on water, but he knew if this was Jesus Christ right here, he had the power to allow him to walk on the water just as he was walking on the water. He trusted that Christ had the power to make the impossible happen. And I ask, are we at the point in our lives where we trust God with everything, even the impossible? It's easy to trust God when we go out and turn the key in our car and it's going to start. It's easy to trust God when things are going good, but when things are falling apart, when a loved one is on their in the hospital bed, or when work is going crazy, or when you don't have your finances to pay the bills, and you need a miracle from God, do you have the faith to believe that if God wants to, he can do the impossible? So I challenge you first to get that faith. You had faith to know that Jesus Christ could save your soul. Get yourself to the point where you have faith that Jesus Christ can secure your soul as you walk with him. So Peter first had faith that Christ could do the impossible. But then I noticed something else that Peter did here that I think we need to do in our walk in faith. We see number two, that Peter stepped out on the water. In verse 29, he said, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You see, we see Peter stepped out of the ship and onto the water. Can I say one thing here about our walk, our faith, stepping out on faith for Jesus? You'll never walk on water if you don't step out of the boat. You stay in the boat, you're never going to see God work in your faith. You may even have faith that he could get you to walk on water, but he's never going to bring you through anything or strengthen your faith if you don't step out. God wants us to have that faith, but then he also wants to take action to it and show that we believe it. You know, you talk in the book of James where it says that our faith is dead without works. I mean, really, that faith may have died right there hadn't he walked out on faith. He could have said, I had the faith that Jesus could make me walk on water, but what good is it if he doesn't step out of the boat? We won't see miracles happen if we don't step out on faith. We won't see God do anything big if we just keep the faith inside and never take action. But I want you to notice something here in verse 29. I want you to notice which direction Peter was heading. It says, when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I try to put myself in the frame of this moment. And I, unfortunately, in my flesh, I might think, if God lets me walk on water, I might be running around and I'm walking on water. You know what I mean? Like, you could lose consciousness. Like, this is something crazy here. I am walking on water. I could be doing backflips. And, you know, you'd be easily distracted about the fact that you're walking on water. But Peter here, when he went on water, it says he went out on water to go to Jesus. His focus was to get to the Lord. And I say, we must keep our destination the same. Our destination needs to be Jesus Christ. If we have the faith that he can do something, and we're going to have the faith to step out of the boat in faith and see Jesus work, we have to keep our destination as Jesus Christ. The second our destination goes somewhere else, that's when you start wanting to do things in the flesh and doing things for yourself. And that's where you lose your focus. I dare say even more, if you're saved here today, here for Peter, Jesus was out on the water, but for us, Jesus is in heaven. And I challenge you to keep your eyes on heaven. You know, that message, it's funny this comes up because the message I preached on a Wednesday night was talking about, it was a weird title, I had to laugh because I was talking about living presently in the future. Which is kind of a weird thought, but basically I was telling that, you know, God, when we got saved, he knew we were going to get saved, and he planned out a perfect will for our life, and he already had a plan for us to do good works for him. And if we would just walk with him, our present was planned in the past for our future, if that makes any sense. And how to obtain that is by keeping your eyes on heavenly things. Walking forward and keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ. Not worrying about the things that need to be done, but rather worrying about where you need to go. And we see here that Peter had the faith to believe that God could do the impossible, and he showed that faith by stepping out on the water and trusting that God, Jesus Christ, would do the impossible. There's something we need to understand. That if we have the faith to believe that God can do these things and we decide to show our faith and step out on faith and do something for the Lord, thirdly, I want to see the trials will come. In verse 30, it says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. See, in verse 30, along came a storm, and Peter did what probably every one of us would have done and let his attention slip away from Christ, and his focus was now on the storm. We see here what happened. It says here, and beginning to sink. We do the same thing and we get the same result. When we're supposed to be focused and heading out towards Jesus and accomplishing what we want to do and our faith for the Lord, trials come. The bills need to be paid. The plumbing goes bad. The stoves I can't light. Whatever it is, all these things pile up and your attention gets drawn to these things. But Jesus is out here. You're supposed to be looking out to the Lord in faith and striving to obtain getting to Jesus Christ. Our goal ultimately should be getting to Jesus Christ and doing his will. But we pay attention to our circumstances and we lose focus, whether it be trials or daily life or health problems or whatever it is. Trials will come. So I want you to realize that trials are come so you can be prepared to keep your focus on Christ. But even though trials will come, I want you to see fourthly, that God is faithful. Verse 30 and 31 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, Wherefore didst thou doubt? See, Peter was failing to keep his eyes on Christ, and he had his eyes on the storms, on the trial, on the winds, and he started to sink. But notice, he may have failed here. You know, we tend to focus on the fact that Peter started sinking here. When you read this verse, you think, old Peter, sinking, lost his focus. But, you know, I think Jesus was looking at him and realized, yeah, he was sinking, but he was also walking by faith. We tend in our flesh to accuse Peter of the sinking part, but we tend to forget that ain't none of us ever walked on water. And although Peter made the mistake of looking at his trials and looking out at the storm, realize what he did when he started doing it. He said, Lord, save me. He knew where to go when he started to fail. He knew where to look when he messed up. You know, we're not always going to be perfect. Sometimes those storms are going to draw our attention. We're unfortunately still in our sinful bodies. And if you're anything like me, you fail daily in some way or another. But I can always yell out, Lord, save me. And my Savior will always reach out and grab me before I go under. He will never let us drown in those trials. I'm so thankful for that. Because I'm just like Peter. I allow those trials to get my attention sometimes as well, but I'm so thankful that I can yell out to my Lord. See, but this is where I think things get tricky. I think this is a lot of the places where Christians fail. Because we kind of tend to stop here. If we mustered up to have faith that God can do the impossible, and then we decide we're going to step out on faith. What tends to happen with most Christians, I think, and I've been guilty of it plenty of times in my walk with God, is that once the trials come, even if we're wise enough to yell out to the Savior to save us, he pulls us up before we drown. But what we tend to do is then say, well, I messed up, back to step one. And I think what God wants us to do is get up and keep walking to him. If you keep going back to step one, you're always having to muster back up your faith to believe he can do the impossible when he's already shown you he can do the impossible. That's why you're walking with him. And he's pulling us up out of there so we don't drown, so that he can bring us to him. But I think we as Christians, we tend to get to step three. Notice we fail. The devil gets in our minds and lets us know, you can't do it. See, you failed. Oh, you messed up. And we'll yell out to God because we want to make things right with him, but then we go back to step one. And we got to start all over and muster up the faith to believe he can do the impossible, while we're beating ourselves up over messing up what God has been doing. I want to see in verse 31, Christ asks a question. It says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It's a very important question. Yes, it's he's pointing out that Jesus doubted him, that he allowed his focus to get off of him, but I think he asked it more importantly not to pick on Peter, but to get him to think, to get him to see that he wants him to keep your eyes on me, Peter. I think he asked this question to us because he wants us to keep our eyes and our faith on him and keep walking. You know, we see this in here, and Peter sunk, and he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord kept him from drowning, and that's an amazing thing. But I think that if Peter would have stayed focused on Jesus and not that storm, he would have made it all the way across the water and stood next to Jesus. What better place to be than right next to Jesus? That's why I believe that Jesus asked this question to get him to realize that, hey, man, you got to keep walking. You got to get to me. Don't go back to step one. You already had the faith. I already proved myself. You stepped out on the water. Yeah, you messed up along the way. You're not perfect. You're just a man. You're made of flesh. You come from dust. But I'm picking you up here. I'm picking you up. Get back on your feet and keep walking. Unfortunately, in this passage, we don't see that Peter walks to Jesus there. But I think we need to realize this is what Christ really wants from us. It's easier said than done. I don't know about you, but sometimes things pile up. Life piles up. The bills pile up. Responsibilities pile up. The car breaks down. You have a burden for your neighbor that's lost. Your best friend is on his deathbed and he's not saved. And, you know, things are going on in the church. Things are going on in your life. You're struggling. Whatever it is. And these storms start happening because the devil's bringing the winds. He saw that you stepped out on faith and he doesn't want that. So he brings that storm. And there's times where it becomes overwhelming. And you might ask yourself, yes, I stepped out on faith. Yes, I believe God can do it. Yes, God brought me out on the water, but how can I ignore the storm? How can I ignore the storm? My answer to that is, remember who it was that brought you out on the water. The only way you're going to ignore that storm is to remember how you got on the water. How'd you get out of the boat? Because of your faith. And we see in the scripture how it says, faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Our faith overcame that. Not our faith because of anything of us, but because of the power of Jesus Christ. When our faith fails and we begin to sink, call out to Jesus. But see, God doesn't want us to merely call on Him as we sink. He wants us to call out on Him before we sink, when we sink, while we're sinking, and while He brings us back up out of the water. He wants us to walk all the way to Him. His plan is that we have faith to get to Him, and then that we have the faith to walk with Him. Something else I want you to notice here is that in the times of these storms, I believe I'm on number four, that only Jesus can calm the storm. Verse 32 says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Only Jesus Christ can do this. Peter didn't stop those winds. Peter couldn't control the winds. Peter couldn't even control his eyes from looking at them. But Jesus Christ could calm the storm. Can I tell you something else that this verse tells us? When we are on board with Christ, the storm is gone. It says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. When we're on board with Christ, the storm is gone. We must find our peace in Him. He'll always provide us a resting place, but we must be with Him. And remember that God is bigger than our storm. I ask, are you dealing with a heartache? Are you dealing with doubt? Are you dealing with pain? Are you dealing with sickness? I challenge you to look past it and to walk to Jesus so you can walk with Him. I want to point this out. I mentioned it briefly here. I want to point out in verse 32 that it says when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And as I was reading this, I always just kind of thought, like, I guess I don't know if I glaze over or if God just really pointed it out to me as I was reading this. I think I always tend to think, you know, Peter was sinking, God raised him up, and then, okay, the storm was all good, we're going in the boat, with no big deal. But it really jumped out to me that it says, and when they were coming into the ship. Now, prior to that, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. They're not in the ship. The wind did not cease till they were in the ship. This tells me that the storm was still raging on the way to it. Keep in mind that just because you're sinking and you cry out to the Lord during these storms and he pulls you up out of the water, that doesn't mean the storm's gone. It might just mean that Jesus Christ is going to lead you through it. But the beauty of this is when Peter was failing, Peter was separated from Jesus Christ at that time. He was walking to Jesus and he started to sink. But at this point, if Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, that leads me to believe that now Jesus is right up next to Peter. And if the seas didn't stop, the waves didn't stop, and the wind didn't cease, and the storm didn't stop until they got into the ship, that tells me that somehow Jesus had Peter, and this is a very little Peter, I know, but Jesus had Peter and got him into that ship. But did you see the different result of getting through that storm? When Peter was out on the water by himself trying to get to Jesus, he was struggling, but when he got right up on Jesus, I didn't see him sink again. It's kind of like that very well-known, you know, you see it on coffee mugs and plaques and signs with the footsteps of Jesus. In those times that you're walking through the craziest times and you ask the Lord, Lord, why was there only one set of footprints? And he tells you that's because that's when I was carrying you. And I believe that's what happened here. It doesn't specifically say, I don't know, maybe someone knows better than me. I don't know if they walked with each other, if God carried him, if he gave him a piggyback. I have no idea. But what I do know is that Jesus got a hold of him. And I believe it's because even though Peter failed, and we tend to stare at the scripture and say, oh, Peter started sinking, but Peter had the faith that God could do the impossible. Peter had the faith that he could get out on the boat, get out onto that water and walk. And then he had the wisdom that knew when he was failing that he could cry out to his Lord. And I think Jesus blessed him for that right here, because he got a hold of him. He caught him, stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I don't know how they got back into that boat, but I do know they got there, and the winds did not cease until they got there. So Jesus did not take the storm from Peter, but Jesus got Peter through the storm. Only then did Jesus set him on solid footing and calm the storm. Now, I'm not saying God couldn't have just made the wind stop and could have solved all his problems right there and then. He could have. He had the power. He is Jesus. He is God. But sometimes God is going to bring you through the trials. Sometimes God is going to keep you out where you're a little scared, where you're a little nervous, where the waves are crashing over you, where the winds are boisterous, where it's hard to see how on earth you're going to get back up in that boat. But if you'll walk out to Jesus and walk with him, he'll get you through it. And the thing I was thinking about, this concept of walking with God, you know what's so special about, you know, a lot of times, think about it. Say one of you, Ralph. We're going to use him as an example of God here this morning. And I'm with God in the room here. I'm doing whatever I'm doing here, and I can yell out to God, and God can even talk to me, and I can fellowship with God. But if I go tripping over something, he's over there. But if you get God as close as God was with Peter, it's like God's here. Oh, watch out for that. hey, watch out for this. Watch out. Oh, hold up. Let me get you over that. If you get close to the Lord, that's why he can get you through the storm. He could blindfold you and he could just steer you right where you need to go. And obviously, God physically isn't going to be standing next to me, but I mean in a spiritual sense. Instead of just allowing God in your room, maybe you ought to let him right next to you. A lot of times we have him in the room. We get up and we read our one chapter of the Bible in the morning. We thank him for our Cheerios and God's in the room. And then we go out through our day and we wonder why the storm takes us over. And it's because we left him in the room. What we ought to do is cry out to the Lord before we start sinking and say, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, there's a world out there that's going to come after me. The devil hates what we're doing here. My job is so stressful. I don't have time to do the things I want to get done for you. My car's breaking down. I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better family member. I need to do more. All these things come to you, but instead you could just say, Lord, save me. And these are the times where he reaches out before we sink. I think he puts his arm around you and walks with you. So I challenge you this morning to not just merely let Jesus in the room, let him in your day. How about you let him in your personal space? In our flesh, I don't know about you. People go, hey, man, personal space, man. Shouldn't be that with Jesus. You need to let him so close to you that he can wrap your arm around you. When you're about to fall into something real dumb, he can say, whoa. Holy Spirit can go, whoa. Nope. Don't walk there. You're going to trip on that. Hey, don't focus on that. Hey, I know the winds are blowing. You know, the Holy Spirit, so to speak, can do one of these for you. Makes me think of a time I was fishing with my brother. We had gone to a place we never went before, and we had to walk through basically like a cave. It was like an old abandoned like train trestle, and it was like long, like no spot of light through the other end. And we walked through it during the day. Well, me and my brother get to fishing, and the day's almost over, and we're heading back. So we're heading back in the dark, and next thing you know, this thing's full of bats. If you know me, I don't do bats. I'll do just about anything. I don't do bats. You got bats, good luck with that. Ask my dad when I was growing up if a bat was in the house one time. I don't know why I was like camping out in the living room. I'm out there. He's like, oh, help me with this bat. Nope, let me know when it's out. I don't do bats. And I thought to myself, even my brother, he was like, I turned into a little child. I'm like, what are we doing here? Because I'm telling you, if we have to go, the only other thing was through woods where we had no idea where we were. And I said, Jay, if I got to walk through this tunnel, I'm putting my head down, holding your belt, and you are the eyes of this operation. And I remember thinking to myself, and I think we said it because my brother was like, I don't know, I don't mind bats, but this is a little too many bats for me. And I said, what would Dad do? Because I know my dad would have just been like, stick this thing over your head, you big sissy, I'll walk you through here. You know, it's kind of like what we need to let the Lord do. You know, I'm talking about my earthly father. What about my heavenly father? When you get to a point and you go, I'm frozen here. I don't know what to do with this tunnel. It's full of bats. It's dark. I don't know where it is. I don't know where I'm going. What do I do here? And you go, well, what would my father do? And I, spiritually speaking, I think he could do exactly what my dad. He can put the blinders on. Get the storm out of my sight and help me to look to press forward. You know, when you're not saved, you're looking forward to Jesus Christ at the cross if you want to get saved. Then when you come to that cross, you come to Calvary, you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now we got to progress forward to where Jesus is now, and that's up in heaven. And press forward to that mark. So we've seen that Peter believed that God could do the impossible. We saw that Peter had the faith to put action to that belief, come out of the boat. Yes, he had a part where he failed in his faith, but he knew to cry out to Jesus Christ during those trials. We saw that Jesus can calm the storm, but he's not always going to calm it until he gets you through it. And I want to see one last thing here, which is why it's so important about just continue to walk toward Jesus so we can get to the point where we can walk with him. And that's because God gets the glory. In verse 33, it says, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, we see here, these were his disciples. So, we know that they believed on him, but at this moment they thought it was a spirit. They didn't know who it was. God got the glory because they saw what just happened. But, you know, this remarkable, put yourself in that place. You're the guy over here in the boat. Old crazy Peter doesn't think he's going to walk on water. You're watching this thinking, boy's going to get wet. I mean, because at this point, they don't even know if it's Jesus. You know, there probably might be people doubting. I mean, it's hard to doubt that you can walk on water. You're in the boat, but then you see this miraculous thing happen. You get to see Peter actually walk on water. You're like, whoa. All right, we got something going here. Then you see how miraculously Jesus Christ is there for him during his trials. Pulls him up out of the sinking water. And then you get to see how Jesus Christ leads him through the trials. And then finally, after all of that, you get to see him have victory after the trial. And all those people say, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." You know, if Peter doesn't step out on faith, he and everyone else in that boat never witnesses what Jesus does here. Can I tell you that our faith, if we don't step out of the boat, nobody's going to see what Jesus Christ does in our life. How's a coworker going to see your life crumbling apart and knowing what's going on in your life get any benefit from that if you stay in the boat? Like a bunch of, like the other scared disciples. They'll look at you and go, "Oh, yeah, he believes in God, but okay. I believe in myself, and I'm sitting in the same boat doing nothing about it." Our faith allows others to see Christ work in our life. They see us go through life's storms. They see us cry out to Jesus. They see us get guided through the storm. And then they see us have peace as the winds cease. And I think of my coworker, Mike. Please pray for him. He's a really good guy. He's not saved. Love him to death. He's a great guy. And I witnessed to him, and I want him to come out to church. I want to see him get saved. I just think of this, and this is not to give myself flowers or boast in any way, shape, or form. I'm just trying to give it as an example for this. There was a time when everything was going on at the house. There was all kinds of stuff going on, and it was just like, he'd be like, "Hey, how is it?" And I'm like, "What's going on in your life?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, this happened." And I'm telling him all this stuff that's going on, but like, cheerfully. And I remember at one point he just said, "Shouldn't you be a little more upset?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm not thrilled about it, but I mean, Jesus is going to, the Lord's going to work it out." And I remember him commenting to me afterwards, just saying, you know, I think it sparked something in his heart that it's hard to deny that God is real when someone can be going through turmoil and they're just like, "How are you doing this morning? Better than I deserve. Isn't all you're having problems?" Absolutely, amen. Say, what now? And it's not always easy. And trust me, I'm not saying it to boast myself, because if you've heard me before, I've mentioned that there were times where I was just like, "All right, Lord. I'm about at the wit's end here. I don't know how much more I can take." But I can tell you, if you just, when you start to sink, cry out to God and say, "Lord, save me." Be thankful for those trials, because I've learned in those trials, those are the times that he breaks me and makes me realize it ain't because of me. It's because of him. And he's always there to pull me up out of the sinking water. Having the faith to believe that God can do the impossible, having the faith to come out of the boat, having the faith that he can help you through the trials will all be helpful to you, and it will grow your faith. But really, my main challenge here is get to the point where you're strengthened enough where it can start affecting other people. And I say that because although we should be witnessing no matter what, some of the hardest people to witness to are family and friends and coworkers and people you spend a lot of time with. It makes it a lot easier when they can believe what's coming out of your mouth, when they can see the victory that you've gotten through Jesus, that you've gotten through the trials, and that they can see the peace that you have after God got you through it. In closing, I just want to say, if you're struggling with faith, cry out to the Lord and ask him to give it to you. First and foremost, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to start with that faith and understanding that Jesus Christ came here and he gave his life, shed his blood on the cross, so that you could walk with him, that you could have a home in heaven, that you could spend eternity with him, that he could pardon your sin. But if you have that faith, challenge yourself to step out on the water. Keeping that faith inside your house or keeping it to all your saved friends isn't going to do the world any good. Step out on the water. Let the world see what God can do if you just walk out there. And don't be afraid that you might sink. I think that's what keeps us a lot of times from stepping out on the boat is we're so afraid that we're so focused on people seeing that we're going to sink. Because I don't know about you, maybe I'm just a carnal, well, I'm definitely a carnal, rotten person, but sometimes I read this passage and it's always like, ah, Peter, he sank. you're always picking on the doubt, but you never stop to think this guy had the faith to walk on an ocean. Let me tell you something, I don't have the faith to wade out more than like 10 feet in the ocean, let alone walk on it in the middle of there in a storm. So allow God to help you to walk out on the water so that people can see you go through these things. And realize that having people see you sink is a good thing. Do you want to sink? No, not necessarily. But if you, as long as you know the second, oh, and you cry out to the Lord, they can see what God's doing in that time. So I'm challenging you to put things in perspective. Think about where your focus is. Is your focus on the storm? Is it on the winds? Is it on the waves? Or is it on the Savior? I'm challenging you to keep your focus today on the Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for church. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your long-suffering and your patience with me. Lord, I thank you that you can do the impossible. Lord, you're willing to include me in that if I would step out on faith. Lord, I'm also thankful that you don't throw me away when I start to sink. And if I fail in my flesh, Lord, but you're there and you're willing to let me cry out, Lord, save me. God, thank you for saving me. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to keep our focus on you every day. Stop allowing our life to overwhelm us. Stop allowing the devil to convince us that we have other things to do or that we can't do it because, hey, last time you sunk. You failed. God had to pull you out. You're nothing. Lord, help us to realize that it's because of you and your power that you'll be there to pick us up. And that you want us to get to you, Lord. That you want us to walk to you so that we can walk with you. Lord, but also help us to keep in mind that people are watching. Not just the lost, but also the brethren. Sometimes someone needs to see a brother or sister in Christ go through something so that they can learn, that they can be encouraged, whether it be for a trial they're going through or a trial that may come. But Lord, also the lost would see you and say, man, he's got something there. My trials are tearing me down, but this guy's happy that he has them. Lord, but we'll never be able to do it if our eyes are on the storm. Help us, Lord, every day to keep our eyes on our blessed Savior, the one that gave his life for us, that can keep us until he calls us home. Lord, thank you for your word, for being able to open it up this morning. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the time of singing, Lord, and I pray that we were singing those songs out to you. I pray, Lord, I know I'm nobody, Lord, and I don't think I am in any way, shape, or form, but I pray somehow you spoke through me today and that you challenge each one of us, Lord, to walk with you. Lord, I pray you'd keep our pastor and his family safe. Bring them home safely to us, Lord. We look forward to them coming home. We're so thankful for them. Lord, keep us safe as we go out amongst our afternoon today. Lord, keep us safe. Lord, bring us back again tonight. If you stay, you're coming. Lord, you are worthy of the praise, and we will give it to you, Lord, and praise you for all that you do. Lord, we'll give you thanks and pray in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.